Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. If you'll find your Bibles this morning, go to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, and you'll need your Bible. I'm thankful to be here this morning. What a beautiful day the Lord has given us. The sun is shining. When we left Alaska, it was 45 degrees, supposed to be 32 last Tuesday. So we are thankful for the sunshine, thankful to be here, and thankful for the opportunity to get to preach. Anytime we get to preach, we enjoy that God gives us the liberty to preach and to be a part of His work. If you'll go with me to the book of Ephesians this morning, I want to look at a few things, and you'll need your Bibles. We'll be turning quite a few places. Maybe if I can get, maybe Jake and Cody, you mind helping pass these out real quick? And I'm passing you out. It's something that I've copied and used for years. If you were to come in and sit down and go through counseling with me, this is one of the documents that I would give you, and we would just write all over it. I usually use about 20 of them per counseling session. But as you look at this, I did not create this. This is actually out of an older guy by the name of Larkin, and I don't agree with everything Larkin writes, so don't go grabbing Larkin's books and believe everything that he writes. Let God be true and every man a liar. But as you look at some of his stuff, he has a section here with the body, soul, and spirit. I know Pastor Barlow has spent some time in spiritual warfare with you, and so I want you to look with me as you go to Ephesians this morning. I want you to think about a couple things. We're just going to start in chapter number 1 of the book of Ephesians, and I want you to see in Ephesians 1, we're going to pick it up in verse number 15. The Bible teaches us in verse 12, it says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. So I know this is the Sunday school hour, so I'm going to believe that everyone sitting here this morning, there's been a time in your life where you placed your faith and trust on Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul is teaching the church of Ephesus, and when he says this in verse number 12, he says that we should be to the praise and glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And I'm sure this morning you understand the fact that we are sealed until the day of redemption. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's really interesting to take that thought through the book of Ephesians. When you get over to Ephesians 6, we're not to grieve the Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed until the day of redemption. Now you get here in verse number 15 or 14, the Bible says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And of course, my wife and I, we pray for your church, we pray for your pastor, their family, and of course our family, we pray for you. But it's great to hear what God's going to do. We watch your services most every Sunday, and we watch it before we go to our church service, and then we watch some afterwards. But we're very thankful for what God's doing here at New Hope. In verse number 16, it says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. In verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding, the Bible says, being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. I've been saved for, 50 years of my life. And if I've seen anything in the last 50 years, it is simply this. God's people don't know who they are, and they don't know what God has said. They know a lot about going to heaven. There's a lot of things out there today that people they're arguing over how to get saved, and I want you to know it's not the church, it's not the prayer, but it's Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to heaven but by the name of Jesus this morning. You must believe and receive to be saved. Now, I know this is a Sunday school hour, and so as Paul was teaching the church, he says, I want you to know something more. He says, there's more to this Christian life than just a get-out-of-hell-free card. There's more to this Christian life than just saying, hey, I know that I'm saved. And if that's all we got, that would be amazing. But there's an exceeding great riches in Christ Jesus that I believe that the church of God, the child of God, the church of Jesus Christ is missing out in the day and age which we live. If you look at this passage of Scripture, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us that believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right, the Bible says, at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities. The Bible says all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, if you hold your finger there and flip with me over to Ephesians chapter 6 quickly. In Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look at every chapter of Ephesians and just look at a couple verses. You'll need to be here all three services if you can. But I want you to see some things in Ephesians chapter 6. In chapter number 6, verse number 10, the most famous statement that people love to hear preachers say, finally, the last point, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Let me ask you this morning, class, whose might is it? His might. He says, be strong in the Lord and the power of whose might? His might. Help me out this morning. Whose might? His might. Very good. Now notice, if you look with me, the Bible says, put on the whole armor of who? So let me ask you a question. Whose armor is it? So whose might is it? It's might, his might, and it's God's armor. Now look, if you would there. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against what? But against what? Principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. You know the rest, the armor that we put on. But I want you to look back in verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Our enemy is the principalities. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Well, you go back to chapter number 1, and we go back to where we began this morning, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, in verse number 17, the Bible says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. Now, notice, we know he have his armor, we know he have his might, but I want you to see that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what exceeding greatness and power to usward who believe. This is not just power to save us, but this power that he grants us, which he wrought in Christ and raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Watch this, verse 21. Far above all, what? Principality. So we know that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against who? Principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. But the Bible says God wants you to have knowledge this morning and understanding of the riches in Christ Jesus. When you got saved, he didn't just get you out of hell, but he gave you authority. He gave you power. And understand this, far above all principalities and powers. You say, wait a minute. That's Christ Jesus. How many believe that Jesus is far above all principalities and powers? Isn't that good this morning? That we know that God, you say, well, I believe that Jesus can overcome all principalities and powers. But understand, our power, our strength is not in our might or our power, but it's his strength and his might. So look, if you would, in chapter number 2. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses of sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom all we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh and the desires of the flesh and the mind. The Bible says, we're by nature the children of wrath. But God, look at verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead, the Bible says, when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us with Christ. By grace you are saved. Look at verse number 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Who? Where? In Christ Jesus. So here's the deal. When it comes to this wrestling, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, the Bible says Jesus Christ, when he rose up from the grave, he overcame all principalities and powers. And chapter number 1, he's seated in heavenly places. Far above that, when you got saved, the Bible says you are now in Christ Jesus. Now, where's that? He's above all principalities. That at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus and the authority that God has given the church. You say, but Brother Kelly, you don't understand. We're wrestling real flesh and blood problems. No, you are focused on the flesh and blood, but really it is a spiritual battle. You are battling principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Look if you would in chapter 2 once again. Look, if you would, the Bible says, even when you were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together, in verse 5, in, with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come that he may show his exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through what? That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But look at verse 10. For we are his what? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So let's get this morning, class. I know there's teaching in the world today that will say that passage of Scripture is positionally in the future. But understand, God's not waiting till we get to heaven to give us the authority far above all. By the way, when we're in heaven, he doesn't have any authority or power there. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We get a new glorified body there. I want you to realize the battle is here on this earth. The battle that Satan wants to rob you of who you are and what God has given you. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, like I said, there'll be a lot of scripture in Sunday school, and then we'll get into the message. But I want you to see in chapter 3, pick it up in verse number 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard the dispensation of grace, of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation made known unto me the mystery, I wrote afore a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the what? Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. And so you look there in verse number 6, that the Gentiles should be made fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Look if you would there in verse number 8, and verse number 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. This grace is given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So Paul said, Gentiles, I want you to know what the unsearchable riches of Christ. Why do I care about what you're preaching this morning? Well, because I want you to know that Satan wants to rob you, alienate you from the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship, verse number 9, to see whether the fellowship of the mystery from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who hath created all things by Jesus Christ. to the intent now unto the principalities and power in heavenly places by being known by the church. This isn't heaven, this is by the church. And manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose whereby he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have our bodies and access with confidence by faith of him. Now look at, if you would, in verse number 13. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Listen, if Christ dwells in you, he says in verse 17, if he dwells in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Church, do you understand this morning that as you're coming here, Paul didn't want the church of Ephesus just to know that they're going to know that without a shadow of doubt that they're going to heaven. He wanted them to know that they were more than just Christians, more than just being a Christian, being Christ-like. There was a riches that they were being robbed of. Look at chapter number 4. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You know, we have been called unto good works. And God desires for you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Church, can I help you this morning? We are not just saved to sit sour and soak. We're not just saved to, listen, if all he wanted to do was save us by grace through faith and thank God for that, listen, do you understand? If all he wanted was just to save us so he could set up and say, hey, look here, no, he saved you with a intention of good work. God wants to do something with your life. You are important this morning. You matter. God has big plans for your life. How many believe that this morning? How many have seen that in others? How many can say, boy, I can just see the hand of God all over them? Do you know God is no respecter of persons? And I want you to know today, if you have been truly saved, God has a plan for your life. He has a battle for you to fight. He has a people for you to win. He has a work for you to do. He saved you unto good works. You say, but Brother Kelly, I just want to know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Well, I want you to realize when you got saved, there's greater riches, more exceeding. Do you ever hear this comment? It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. How many has found that true when it comes to salvation? Yet I very seldom hear people raise their hand during testimony time and say, boy, I am so thankful that God saved me that I could be able to give it to somebody else. That I could see this person saved and this person saved and this. Oh, let me tell you, the day I got saved, it was wonderful. But oh, how wonderful it was when I saw that babe in Christ begin to grow. I'm telling you, the reality of it is we are alienated from the life of God. You say, why? Well, look, if you would, hurry up with me in verse chapter 4. Look at verse number 18. Let's look at verse 16. And whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted about, which by every joint supplieth according to the effectual working, in the measures of every part maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. Now, what is God? God's interested in increase. Preacher, I don't know if I'm interested in them numbers. You know, we count people, we count all numbers. Are we really interested in numbers? Hey, God's interested in increase of your body. He's interested in you growing as a child of God. This I say in verse 17, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles, walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past filling has given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if ye have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. Here it is, it's simple. Wherefore, put away lying.
Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, when you look at that passage of Scripture, you think, yeah, but preacher, what does that have to do with my Christian walk? I believe we're alienated from the life of God because of ignorance. Here's what I believe. I believe we've got so focused on preaching on things, and we've got so focused on preaching on that really has no eternal. We get so focused in the Gentile thought, in the vanity of our mind, that we alienate ourselves from the life of God. Here's what I find. I find so many times Christians more worried about what they can do or what they can't do than what they can do. In other words, they're so focused on the do's and don'ts. A teenager looks at all the rules and says, I don't have any freedom at all, right? A Christian says, well, I can't do anything. That preacher has all those standards and all those convictions. Listen, those are not standards and to rob you of life. They're guidelines this morning to tell us how to keep focus, how to not be alienated from the life of God. God wants you to live a full life. He wants you to have a rich life. He wants you to have a blessed life. He wants you to have that life that he talks about in Psalms chapter 1 when he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate therein day and night. The Bible tells us, if you read the rest of that, that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It says, whatsoever he doth, you understand, whatever you do shall prosper. Oh, preacher, I want a prosperous life. I don't want to get to the end of my days and see my life wasted. Well, what do you need to do? You need to look to the Word of God. You don't need to be ignorant about the truth. You say, preacher, I don't know what. No, you can't go before the holy God in heaven and say, I didn't know. No, here's the deal. When you got saved, the Spirit of God moved inside of you. He will guide you into all truth. The reason why you have such a hard time studying the Word of God, how it seems like everything fights your Bible time, is because Satan, principalities, and powers don't want you to know who you are. When you realize that I am more than conqueror, that I'm overcomer in Christ Jesus, that in Christ Jesus I'm far above all principalities and powers, this world is not my home, I'm going to start thinking right, looking right, talking right. I'm going to start battling the right enemy. So look, if you would, and I know we've been in a lot of Bible, but the Bible's okay, amen. It's okay to be in the Bible. It's not. You can't say some fat preacher told me this. You say, I saw in the Word of God. Have you ever read the book of Ephesians from cover to cover? I mean, the whole book in one setting. You know how long that takes you? I mean, the reality is it's not that much. But then you start putting it together, it'll come alive for you. When you read Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then you add a few other passages of Scriptures with that, the Bible begins to open up. Here we go. He wants you to have a life that's no longer past feeling. He doesn't want you to give yourself over to lasciviousness, loud lewd behavior, who's looking for something. Churches today across America are looking, they're wanting something real. Young people are looking for something real. They need to see real Christians. It's not a bunch of standards and convictions. I want you to understand it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't do what I do to obtain favor from God. I do it because I already have. It's not so that I can get. It's because I've got. And when I got, understand, when you know what you got, it isn't even a hard thing. Look, if you would. Verse number 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. The woke society of America church today is all about greediness. It's I, me, I want. You listen to the songs, you listen to the talk, you listen to the walk. Listen, the Bible says that we need to let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth, but the words of my mouth, David would say, in the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. And then you come to chapter number 5. And chapter number five, boy, there's just so much in this. I don't have time. But look, if you would, in verse 2, walk in what? Love. Walk in love. How many have had a hard time doing that? How many find it easier to walk in hate, anger, wrath, variance, emulation, strife? I mean, the Bible says, let no man deceive you with vain words in verse number 6. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Look at verse number 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth. So the tried of fruit, whether see they be of God or of man. He says the fruit of the Spirit is goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. For it is a shame, even, the Bible says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest in the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Look at verse 15. See then. This is something that you have to choose to do. That you walk circumspectly, not as fools. Preacher just called me a fool. I didn't do that. The Word of God said. When we are out and we choose to walk in darkness, when we choose to walk in ignorance, look at the Word of God. He says this, you are making the choice to be made a fool. When we think of the fool, we think of the joker, we think of the devil this morning, and the Bible says you don't need to, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So many times our focus is on men. Our focus is on this world. But when we realize that we're seated far above, there is a rich, that, listen, wouldn't it make you mad this morning if you know you've been robbed of the things of God? If you walked home this morning and you walked into your house and all of your precious belongings were gone, how would you respond? I mean, really and truly, you came in, the house is clean. Hey, boy, good, we don't have to pack up. Jake and Amber might be happy. But the reality of it is that as you look at your life this morning, you look at your Christian life and you look at it and I ask you, what is in this life? What do you have? I gave you a diagram just a minute ago, and this diagram is the threefold nature of man. We're going to kind of hit this both this morning and then this afternoon, but I want you to see in 1 Thessalonians, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. God wants to set you apart wholly. God's not interested in you just being one foot in and one foot out. He's not interested this morning in you playing the hokey-pokey Christian. He wants you to be all in. He wants you to renew your mind to who you are in Christ and realize that you have authority, you have power. He doesn't want you to be robbed, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance. Ignorance is not a bad word. Ignorance is simply, I've never been taught. I've never learned. An idiot is incapable of learning. I've met some of those. But the truth of the matter is, he's not talking about idiots this morning. He's talking about ignorant people. He's talking about people who have never learned. You know what Satan wants to do? He wants to dumb down Christianity. In the last 60, 70 years in America, he's dumbed down the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. What do you mean? What he's done is he's made it about standards. He's made it about rules. He's made it about this. And so we got young people that are running from the things of God because of the yoke of bondage. They're entangled again with this flesh. Once again, what happens is because they're ignorant to who they are in Christ. Ignorant to what they are in God. God has created them unto good works. So if I was to go around here this morning and say, okay, what's the good works that God did in your life today? What did God do in your home this morning? If God's at work in your life, how many believe he is? Is God dead? Is God asleep at the wheel? Is he saying, oh, just let the world, I don't care about, no. I want you to realize he's at work this morning in people's lives. And I was just saying, what did God do in your prayer life this morning? What did you see God do that was real? It's not hard to get people to buy in if it's real. But when it's just all rules, and all do's and don'ts, we try to make the monkey dress and look like a human, but he's still a monkey. And you can make a rebellious, listen, when we come to the realization that, wait a minute, God wants us to understand that he wants your whole body, your whole being, your whole you to be completely surrendered. completely under his will and his way. Let me ask you a question, those of you that's been around a while. Who knows best how to rule your life, you or him? Let's do this morning. If it's him, would you point your finger up? But how many could say, truthfully though, I spent the majority of my life figuring that out the hard way? Don't you feel angry? I wish I'd have known when I was 15 what I know today. I wish I'd have known when I was, I told a teenager I was counseling the other day, I said, boy, I wish I knew what I knew when I was 17. I knew everything at 17. Anybody else? Maybe I'm the only one, but I knew it all. And I said, boy, I wish I had that knowledge. He was telling me what he's going to do with his life and how he's going to live. And I thought, I wish I knew what I, boy, I wish I had that. What does God want you to do with your life? What is God's plan for your home? If God created you when he saved you under good works, listen, if he only saved you to take you to heaven, then you'd be gone. He saved you for a purpose. God has big plans for your life. He doesn't have my plans for your life. He has big plans for your life. He created you. Not all of us are a Moses, and not all of us are a Stephen. Not all of us are a John. Not all of us are a Paul. God has a plan and a work for you to do. You have a kingdom work that God has for your family, for your life, for you today. But you're being robbed. How many does that make mad? I don't want to be robbed. Well, how can I fix that? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the very God of peace sanctify you. Set you apart is what the word sanctify. Holy. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit, how much of your spirit? Your whole spirit. Listen, I don't like, you know, could you imagine going to the restaurant this afternoon after you're done and you sit down and they say, oh, well, we decided just to give you a third of your meal, but we're going to charge you for the whole thing. No, Jesus paid it all. The bill has been paid. And he says, I want your whole spirit, your entire being. Notice your whole spirit, your whole body. And the Bible says, in your whole soul be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, quickly, class, what does it mean to be blameless? Blameless. That's blameless before the world. So that means when I stand there in Hebrews as a witness against those who rejected Jesus Christ, and we're standing there, that I am blameless, that I did my part. I shared the gospel. I told him of the love of God. I am blameless. I am blameless in how I lived my life. They can't look at me and say, oh, he was a Christian? I ask people all the time to come to church, and it's amazing to me. And I say, boy, you know, so-and-so goes to our church. They go to church. Would your neighbors be surprised where you are this morning? Would they think, hey, that's a church family? Would they know that you're a child and you care about their soul? Oh, preacher, I just don't want them to get mad at me. You think mad. You ain't seen mad until you're standing there at that throne. Right. And they're there before God and they find out that you knew the gospel your entire life. You knew the way, the truth, and the life. And you never took a moment to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. And by the way, the good news is only good news if it arrives on time. Standing at the altar and saying, oh, he was a good man. That don't get him to heaven. I'm saying the reality, they need to hear the gospel. Now, that's just the gospel. But he saved you for a work. And by the way, telling others about Jesus Christ is your work. There ain't a one of us that isn't fit in his plan for our life. He saved you to give the gospel to others. Preacher, I don't like that. I want to just be the quiet guy. You know, quiet guys reach quiet guys. Shy people can reach shy people. I put people off sometimes. Sometimes I approach people and they say, well, he just comes on too strong. It's amazing who God will use you in your work. Look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, it says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even and dividing asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. No wonder Satan robs you of your Bible study time. No wonder he wants to rob you. God is interested in you knowing him. And listen, he's interested in taking the word of God and beginning to work in your life so that you can have that relationship. So we have that picture there, your diagram.
up here in the, on the bottom, you'll find there's five gates. How many remember school? It's a long time ago for me. But I remember their teacher saying, all right, we're going to learn about your senses. Does anybody remember that? Maybe, okay, a couple of us went to school. All right, so he said, now what are your five senses? I can what? See, I can get money, right? I can touch. So I can see, I can hear, I can smell. He said, man, that don't smell right. So since the day you were born, you began to take information into your mind. You began to pull information in. Now, when I say this, I want you to go back to the scriptures that we've studied, and I want you to think this week or these next couple services, I want you to think about how I have inputted this in my mind. Why do I think the way I think about telling others about Christ? Why do, when I go to approach someone, my tongue swell up? Why is it that I... How many has ever felt like, boy, if I tell... I'll just mess it up. I'm scared to death. I've heard this. Preacher, I'm scared to death. I'll tell them wrong and they'll go to hell because of me. I said, if nobody tells them, they're going to go to hell anyhow. How about you just let God do it? Open your mouth. Preacher, but you don't understand to pass out one of those little papers? Come on. To invite people to church? The preacher might preach something that day. I couldn't tell you the church people we have. But they say, Pastor, I invited that family. And that Sunday you preached, that was the hardest message you preached. I couldn't believe it. I sat there just mortified that you preached that message. And then there'll be people that they brought will tell me, man, that was the best message I ever heard in my life. God used that in my life. I'm just saying, hey, quit doing God's part. And I'm asking you today, when you've taken those senses, since you were a little boy, a little girl, you started looking out in the world and you said, that's mama. And that's daddy. And you began to hear their voice. You began to think, dad's mad, dad's sad. How many parents had looks and you knew, uh-oh, I'm going to get it when I get home? My dad had that look, and it was death. I mean, it was done. My mom could turn around and look at you. I'm just saying, it was worse than the spanking. It was just the look, you know, and you knew you were going to get it. We had 19 miles between home and church, and we had to drive, and you had to worry. And, you could say all you want. I don't care who you blamed it on. I can remember my dad had me out by the old walnut tree, and he made me put my hands on the walnut tree. This sounds like child abuse. I want to check. But anyhow, I put my hands on that old walnut tree, and he said, Kelly, why did you act up in church today? And I said, Dad, the devil made me do it. My dad said, I'm going to beat the devil out of you. I'm just saying, that ain't right, and I'm not preaching that. That's not what we need to do. But here's what I say. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. I started taking information in. I had to learn to brush my teeth. Anybody else? How many boys, your parents said, go wash your hands, and you go wash your hands, and they say, now let me see them. Why did they ask you that? Well, they know that from experience. They've seen little boys go wash their hands, or come back, and their hands are filthy. Right? Go wash them again. And you go wash them again. Hey, son, did you go to take a shower? Yes, sir. Well, did you use soap? Yes, sir. Well, come here for a minute. Why does your head smell like an onion? Go take a shower again, one of my boys. I'm just saying, the reality, as you look at this life, we learn things. You've been taking input in. You know how my wife and I have been married for a long time. And 37 years, and we've got 4 children, 18 grandchildren right now, and it's an exciting time in our life. We are free. Everybody said, what are you going to do when all the kids leave? I told my children, I said, I chose your mom. I didn't choose any of you. The reality of it, how are you going to make it? We desired to be with each other before you were ever a part of our life. No. The reality of it is, I love my kids, love my grandkids, but I love my wife. But I want you to know, I know when she's upset. You know why? We've dwelt with each other for 37 years. I know her buttons. She knows my buttons. And all God's people said. Well, those are those gates that I'm talking about. That sensory. You start learning. You can look at people and say, they don't like me very much. I see how they're sitting. How many has judged people? You've walked in the room and you knew they were talking about you. You just knew it. And you looked at them and you said, boy, they don't like me. Anybody? Where'd you learn that? Well, back there in school. Back there, you started taking information. You started hearing, boy, that don't sound right.
That don't feel right. That hurts. And so you started learning from the outside in. But do you realize the Word of God teaches opposite of that? When you got saved, you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. How many believe that this morning? Old things were passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And what God wants you to do today is realize you have been changed. You are schizo. You say, what do you mean? Well, you have two personalities. Actually, you have three, according to the Word of God. Three. Three personalities. Preacher, you mean it's okay for me? I'm on medication for schizophrenia. No. But you do have three people that talk to you. You have the old flesh and your memory and how you've experienced life and how you look at people and how you think about people is the information that you've taken in through those sensory gates that God has given you. But I want you to know that inside of you, the day you got saved, somebody moved in. The Holy Ghost of God lives inside of me. And He guides me into all truth. He's that still small voice that speaks in my ear and says, you shouldn't be looking at it like that anymore. You shouldn't be hearing it like that anymore. You shouldn't be thinking like that anymore. You need to renew your mind to what is truth and what is right and what is pure. Think on things that are true, honest, just, lovely, and of good report. Boy, God has beat me up over that good report the last couple of years. We all listen to people talk. I think, preacher, is that a good report? Why are you thinking on it? Do you think God hasn't heard that already? So as you look at this paper, and we'll get into it the next hour, we take information in. It affects our reasoning, it affects our affections, it affects our conscious, our imagination. That old man, he begins to think wrong, he begins to act. That's the old Gentile. But the day you got saved, God made you a new creature. And God wants us to think from the inside out. Spirit of the living God, my eyes are your eyes. My ears are your ears. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God. My Lord and my Redeemer, I want my hearing and my seeing, my feelings to be your feelings. But you have to make the conscious decision to put off the old man and put on the new. Next hour, we'll get into it a little deeper, but I hope this next couple services, you'll get your mind wrapped around, well, there's more to this Christian life than just coming to church, going to heaven, and if that's all we got, I love my church family. I love that I'm going to heaven, but it's so much more. God has big plans for your life, and it ought to make you mad if you're missing it. I don't want to miss another moment. And what do I need to do? You recognize it. You repent. You renounce it. And then you begin to take off the old and you put on the new. You begin to replace with truth. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. All right, let's pray. Father God, we love you this morning and thank you so much for your word and for your truth. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross and shedding your blood for our sin. Lord, during this next hour, Lord, may you open our eyes that we might see, our ears that we might hear, our understanding, Lord, that we may know in whom we believed. And Lord, be persuaded today, as the Apostle Paul was persuaded, that you are more, Lord, than just salvation. God, you are the one who this morning desires for us to have a life and a life abundantly. And God, may we see that we're being alienated from it because of the blindness of our heart. And God, not to be ignorant anymore, but God, to be wise in that which is good, simple concerning evil. We love you and praise your holy name. Amen.